Hello, once again. We are into the chapter 2 where we'll be understanding the healthcare consumer and the market segmentation. So, in the chapter 1, we understand what is healthcare marketing. We understood why healthcare marketing is becoming so and so critical these days. We are also understood that the different segmentation, the patient onboarding journey, we also understood where what kind of digital platform is required. Now, we'll focus on the healthcare consumers and market segmentation. So, this is typically the health, who are the consumers for the healthcare and how the market segmentation is happening. Now, why understanding of this matters is because, as we spoke last time also, healthcare has shifted from provider-driven to consumer-driven. Its patients are now more informed, active, make their own health decisions. You have to understand the needs, the fears, the values, and the preferences essential. Marketing can no longer only rely on services. You must connect with people. And the most important part is the consumer insight, which is equal to better engagement, trust, and loyalty. So that's the critical of it. So how the provider-centric to patient-centric change is happening? So earlier focus was on the doctors, the infrastructure, and the operations, not typically from a patient experience perspective. Traditional dependency on the referrals and reputation alone. Now, the patient can compare services like they do with hotels or apps. There are more online reviews, accessibility, transparency, and convenience that shape decisions. And ignoring the consumer expectation leads to loss of trust and relevance. The evolving patient expectation is another reason why the healthcare marketing is becoming so critical these days. See, the biggest thing is, this is inspired by a retail or a banking or a travel app. So the thought process is, if they can do it, why not healthcare? Patients here is more of a partner in decision making, not only passive listeners. Okay, their convenience matters. How the booking is easy, the appointments, the minimal waiting, the digital access, and most importantly, patients are looking more than a medical treatment. They expect empathy and personalization. So follow-up calls is one. Post-surgery follow-up is another. Lifestyle advices for diabetes is one. And this can go on. See, healthcare consumers versus traditional consumers. That's the first difference that we're talking about. Healthcare decisions are emotional, high stakes, and deeply personal. If there is a mistake, that affects life and well-being, not just the money or the comfort. The information is more complex out here, often confusing for most patients. So imagine, a patient is coming for a diabetes management program and they want to know what are the stages of diabetes, at what stage, what are the treatment available, and all these things. So information itself is complex, and that's why it creates a confusion between patients. Patients rely heavily on trust of doctors' expertise and intent. That's a base that cannot go anywhere. But how do you market it is the question that you have to ask. Therefore, empathy and clarity with reassurance are more important than the promotion itself. Yes, promotion is the base. I mean, you can think from that perspective of promotion being the base and create a marketing promotion or a campaign, but it should also have empathy, it should have clarity, and it should have reassurance. The digital patient. Now, let us take a quick understanding between the digital patient and the traditional patient. See, a traditional patient is a patient who typically likes to walk into a clinic or an OPD from there, getting it treated out, and that's what it's to a typically a traditional patient. A digital patient is more based on smartphones. They're more based on symptom-based research. They're more based on doctor's comparison. They're more based on how much less waiting time I do have. The first impression online is not the hospital entrance. It's more of like you're attracting them for a service, not sale. A weak website or a no doctor information or a slow response will discourage patients and go away. Patients expect a two-way communication, not one-way instructions. And then personalized help tips, reminders, feedback, which will lead to stronger connection and loyalty. Understanding patient needs versus wants and their behaviors are critically important. Now, please understand, when a patient is visiting a hospital, it's not only the patient that is visiting. There is a family of the patient that is also coming. So, effective marketing begins with understanding who your patients are and what they expect. That's the basic fundamental of your patient's needs. The earlier focus was only on medical treatment. Patient walks in, goes through a medical treatment program and walks out. Now it is more emotional and there are more experiential needs matter now. Patient wants to be heard, respected and supported, not just treated. Now you have to understand their motivation. What improves their satisfaction? What improves their trust? What improves their loyalty? What improves their thought process of coming here again and again? So healthcare success depends on both clinical outcomes and patient experience. See, once again, a traditional way of thinking is they were here for a clinical outcome. They got it. They went out. Now, they're not only looking at clinical outcome, they're also looking at the experience that you're offering. So what is the need? Medical essential services like surgery, medicines or therapy. What is the want? The personal expectations, shorter wait time, empathy, better food, flexibility of timing. So patient will always judge you by both the medical outcome and the overall experience. A satisfied patient will want more comfort, a clear communication and respected well. Whether they can pay, they cannot pay, whatever it is. And there are unmet wants that can harm reputation, reviews and patient retention. So please understand that when you're creating something as a campaign, and as I said in chapter one, that Reliance Hospital was promoting Heart Week throughout a timeline for a week. And in those days, if you walk in and if you want to do certain heart checkup, you know, those are easily avoidable. That's how the communication is. That is what the satisfied patient, that is what the comfort is. That is what should be the communication is all about. Health-seeking behaviors and influences often creates a better way from a patient perspective. So first of all, what is a health-seeking behavior? How and when people decide to seek care? Now, not always. So for example, a simple diabetes symptoms can be that you are committing nuisance in a shorter time period. If you're drinking too much water or after committing nuisance, you see there are ants, small ants moving around. These are the symptoms. Now, if this has been given as a marketing communique, what happens is the patient's health-seeking behavior becomes more deciding. Patients can now make, acha, this is what is happening. I have to visit because they said I will go there. Some will act quickly. Other will act due to fear or a stigma or cost concerns. Okay. Digital tool also creates more influences like Google searches, WhatsApp, reviews, online forums. The age and experiences and awareness also affect the decision-making styles. Now, for example, today a person working at the... So if you see, there are a lot of LinkedIn posts comes in HR 40 under 40, 50 under 50, 30 under 30. If they can create a similar kind of a program based on age and experience, why not healthcare? What will it do? It will create more effective decision-making styles. So you as a marketer must segment audiences by mindset, by trust and by access to information. Now, these are the basic classification. I'm not saying that this should be the only segmentation being done, but this is kind of a basic segmentation. What is their mindset? What is the trust level? And how good or how quick they can access to information are the key things that will influence the health-seeking behaviors from a patient perspective. Now, the biggest barrier that a patient faces today are emotional, cultural and logistical. What is a logistical barrier? I have, for a treatment, I have to go 50 kilometers or 20 kilometers. You know, I don't have anything nearby. The nearby pathological lab is not equipped to that kind of a testing. So that's my logistical barrier. What is the emotional barrier? So a fear. If I do this, what will happen? You know, I remember when I had a gallbladder stone surgery back in 2011. And my first question after I came back to senses after the operation to the doctor that, you know what, I'm a big foodie and I want to eat more and more and I cannot ask for a nutritionist. You know how he handled me? I still remember that doctor. He said that, Gabriel, whatever you do, he made me understand what was that gallbladder used for first. So information. By having that gallbladder, what is the advantage? By not having the gallbladder, what is the disadvantage? Once he clearly communicated, then he said, you eat whatever you want to eat. But remember, the quantity that you used to eat has to be drastically reduced. Otherwise, it cannot hold on the food. So a gallbladder is nothing, a mechanism, but to hold the food and slowly and steadily pass on to the liver to utilize it. But now, because the filter is gone, the food will be dumped. Imagine you have a canopy filter on a water tap and the flow of the water is very high, but the filter at the tap, you know, filters it and pours water as required. Suddenly the filter is gone and the water flow is high. So the bucket which is you filling, it will be done with a less amount of time, but it will also have to be replacing that bucket quite often. So that is one, the emotional factor or a stigma that happens. And culture definitely shapes healthcare decisions. Trust and word of mouth may matter more than technology in rural areas. So your marketing has to be different in urban areas and rural areas. Language and cultural sensitivity are critical for effective communication. The way your language is, the way you culturally sensitize are critical for your communication. Your pain points, poor booking system, unclear bills, rush consultations, because the doctor have to complete 10, you know, checkups. So the doctor rushes out for and completes within an hour because he has other consultations to other hospitals. So these are all the things that creates those barriers. Most importantly, you as a marketer have to address these barriers to build that empathy in the patient. You have to create inclusivity in the patient, and the end game is long-term trust. So what is the demographic segmentation in healthcare? It divides the population in the group based on measurable traits. Now, why measurable traits? Because if you cannot measure those traits, then you cannot create anything out of it. So the first key factor of this is age. Okay, 15 years ago, a person used to get diabetic after 40 or 45. Today, that age has come down to 30 or 35. 15 years ago, heart attacks used to happen only with 50 plus people or 55 plus people. Today, there is no age. It's just, so that's why age is a critical factor. Then your gender. A male will never go for a gynecology information, but a woman might go. The pre-gynecology, the post, after the delivery of the baby, what are the things, what are the communication, okay, plus geography. So a town or a renowned place might have a better equipment because the audience is better there. Their income basis, because not everybody can afford hospital care. So whether it is an affordable hospital care or not, how the education is shaping them, what are the occupation they're doing? Because if you're doing an occupation, a lot of companies now offer those kind of medical programs or medical checkups every year for their senior. I remember one of the companies when I was working with a pharma, we tied up with them with a pathological lab. They wanted their top management and the senior management to go through a mental health wellness program because they take a lot from a decision making as well as the pressure from the board. So that's your occupation. And each demographic group has a unique healthcare need and preferences. The person at the age of 30, 35 might be more worried about his parents' healthcare rather than his or her. Okay. A senior citizen might have his own way of or her own way of dealing things. So that's why each demographic group will have a unique healthcare need and preferences. What does this help or what is it for you? You have to tailor your message, the tone and the delivery channels. For the senior citizen today who are, you know, past 70, they might not be very well with, smartphones or WhatsApp or anything. You know, my father never understood the nuances of a smartphone. So we might use a different delivery channel. What it enables is my targeted communication and improve patient satisfaction. The age and gender segmentation, that's the first one. Age influences disease risk, treatment needs and communication tone. So for example, a pediatric or an adolescent or an adult or a geriatric segments require different approaches. For example, patient's response to a preventive content is very different from seniors prefer reminders and mobility support. They can't move, right? A senior citizen might have various mobility issues. For them, a house visit can be a better one. One of the things I really like to segment is from an urban club perspective. From an urban club perspective, today everything is house visit. If you want to, you know, clean an AC, it's a house visit, they're doing in front of you. So why not in healthcare? Today I have to see, it was there. It's not that it was not there. In the initial stage, I still remember when there's an annual checkup used to happen for my father, the pathological lab used to send a person who will collect blood. Now that particular person is only meant to go use a syringe, collect the blood, mark it and get it back to the pathology lab. And then when the report comes, deliver the reports. Now, delivering the reports can be used through a digital channel, but the personal touch is still where you go and collect blood, you know, a little bit of communicate with the patient, like how are you, how you're feeling today, how was your day today, what's your breakfast, you know, these are the things. Few communications can help improve the entire thing. This is your age and gender segmentation. The gender. Women prioritize preventive care and screenings more than men. Because if you see, your mother will always come and tell you, you know, if this is happening, you should do this. If this is happening, your father might not be that preventive. Your father might wait for the actual thing to happen. But your mother will always prioritize the preventive care. Men will often delay visits, respond to better strength or function-based messaging because they are working somewhere, so they need something. For example, at one point of time, automobile industry created a way, if a corporate employee has a car and you want to service it, there's a call. You know what, Gabriel, your car is a delay in service. Would you please send the car? So if Gabriel says, no, I am not able to send the car because I'm busy with my work life. So then they say, okay, fine, I'll send you a driver. Please send me the address with the location. And the driver comes, speaks with them, walks around with the car, checks everything and takes the car for servicing. Why not in healthcare? We can create something as a communication model from a marketing standpoint with the senior citizens that what? At your age, you don't have to come to us. We will come to you. So gender specific services, gynecology, mental health, prostate care need tailored communication. The geography, income and education, we call it GIE in marketing. So geography wise, if I look into this, urban patients will seek speed and convenience, where the rural ones will need access and affordability. Now, two are completely different. The urban patients, because they have two healthcare insurances with them, one is with the company and one's with themselves, so they're not looking at access and affordability. They're looking at speed and convenience. So your communication has to be different. The rural ones might look at affordability, that how cheaper are they and how well accessible they are. Because, see, please understand, when you talk about geography, for an urban patient, the accessibility might not be of that importance. Because if he knows this is the place I have to go, I can go even during lunchtime. But for a rural one, the accessibility is more critical. Again, the local culture, the transport, the digital reach will all affect your marketing choices. Now, from an income. In my understanding, income plays a pivotal role in the healthcare system. Varying income level shapes the affordability and the expectation. If I'm going to lay one of the bigger hospitals, my affordability is high, so I will also have high care expectations. If I know I'm going to a nursing home or a lower kind of hospital, my care expectations might vary. One thing what I've noticed in the healthcare industry is, even though the income level shapes your affordability, your still the core remains on the care expectations. Higher income group will value premium personal services. They can have use of a lobby. I was told by Apollo 24/7 that if you take a package of 1200 rupees and if you're doing a test in any pathological labs which are bigger, you can access the lounge with zero cost. You can use their canteen at a subsidized rate. Lower income group will always focus on cost effective and government supported care. That's what the income shapes are. The education part. So we focused on geography, we focused on income, we focused on the education. Higher education level will impact health literacy and engagement. If my education, so for example, again, God forbid, never happens to you, I had something called as Bell's palsy. Bell's palsy is nothing but this, one of your faces becomes numb or it forgets the control of anything. So for example, if you're wrenching with water inside, you cannot hold the water. So if you look at the symptom, I cannot hold the air. Because I knew, I worked in pharma, my education was higher, so I will ask informed questions. I will do an online research. And when I spoke to one of my counterparts, I was suggested that, you know, go and meet an MD medicine. Do not go for a general practitioner. Why? Because it's an informed question. Lower literacy will need for more visual and simple communication. You have fever. This is the symptom. This is what you do. You have a pale color of your nuisance. This is what you do. So it's more like a simple and supportive communication. The occupational, marital status and family size. See, when you are working somewhere, it impacts health risks, the insurance type and the care access. And there, I mean, we all have seen that a premium healthcare gives you a premium care and a lower health insurance gives you a lower healthcare. Professionals value convenience. Workers may prefer physical safety messaging. Okay, I was told to this, I'm not taking the name of the builder now, in one of the huge township that they were building, this is during the COVID, the entire worker has to quarantine and everything. So what did they do? They used one of the buildings that they were creating as a mechanism to support the physical safety. So there were messages printed on the society that, you know, this is the distance you have to maintain. There were footmarks meant. Okay. Even if when post-COVID, the transportation started, if you go to Delhi Metro, there were clearly indication of footsteps marking that if you're in a line standing for get into the metro, then you have to stand at this distance. You cannot close. Masks everywhere. There were a marketing communique on masks. So what I'm trying to tell you is the people who are working somewhere in a corporate industry, they will value convenience. But the workers, the daily wage workers may prefer physical safety first. Hospitals also market occupational health programs to employers in their own. Marital status. Married patients focus on family plans and dependent care. So if I'm married, I will try to buy a policy which is more from a perspective of my family. That's why floater policy is more sold on to family rather than a fixed plan. Singles may need navigation and emotional support in treatment decisions because they are alone. There is no one there. So the hospitals will have to treat in a different way. Your communication will depend on that. Occupation or the family size. Larger families prefer bundled checkups, vaccination drives, health packages based on the family. Smaller families or individuals will focus on personal service. Again, the difference is there. Life stage, language and ethnicity. Now, what is a life stage? A life stage is nothing but students, new parents, working adults, retirees. Each one will have a distinct need. A student might have a quick fix need. A new parents might look for a package. Working adults might look at convenience and retirees might look at more home support. That's how the difference is all about. For example, a new parents from a pediatric and maternity support will look at something very different, whereas retirees will look at more chronic and wellness care. That's the idea. That's the difference. The language and ethnicity, language and cultural comfort influence trust and participation. So the way I speak, so if I'm a Hindi speaking guy, if I walk into a hospital where, you know, it's all spoken in English, I might not go to the hospital again. I have to be very clear. Cultural comfort, the way I use the cultural comfort influence. For example, I had a severe challenge in the initial stage when I was in Bombay. Most of the government hospitals spoke Marathi and I did not understand Marathi. So it was very difficult for me. So cultural comfort also influences trust and participation. Multilingual, inclusive campaigns improve access and engagement. So if you are a marketeer, you cannot only think of English today. From a state perspective, if it is Maharashtra, then English, Hindi and Marathi. If you go down to the rural area, then it can be Hindi and Marathi. And if you go down more, which is like a village in Maharashtra, it might only be Marathi. I mean, English will not be pertinent out there. So it has to be a multilingual thought. It has to be an inclusive campaign which provides the language basis. The visuals, the tone, the messaging must reflect the cultural understanding. The key insight is demography will form the foundation, but combining them with the psychographic and behavioral data will truly be on a human-centered healthcare marketing. Now, what is human-centered healthcare marketing? A typical marketing today, as I said in the chapter one, if it is product-based, or if it is marketing-based, or if it is sales-based, or if it is relationship-based. See, when you're looking at relationship-based, you're looking at human-catered healthcare marketing. You're not looking at anything else. So when you're combining the demographic data to form the foundation of your marketing communique, however, you're also combining them of the psychographic, like the age, the gender, the ethnicity, the gender, all these things, when you combine with the behavioral data, that is where you truly create a human-centered healthcare marketing. Now, beyond demographics, so you understand the demographic, the age, the health, the workability, the gender, but psychographics. See, demographic will explain you who your patients are. Psychographic will explain why they act in a certain way. Psychographic more focuses on the mindset. What is the mindset of a person? So, for example, if Gabriel is going to a hospital and if I'm treated like a non-corporate guy, then I might not go back to the hospital again. What are my values? What are my fears? What are my motivations behind healthcare choices? Two similar patients may behave differently due to their belief and their experiences in the past. If I had a bad experience in a hospital, and if I'm going to another hospital, maybe with the same stature, and because my experience is bad, I might communicate to them that, you know what, this is what happened in my previous hospital. I hope you're not doing the same mistake again and again. I can share one of the things. When I had the Bell's palsy, I was admitted to a hospital, and while I was checking the bills, and because I was a single person, when I was checking the bills, I saw there is somebody added nutritionist out there. So I called the hospital manager and asked him, why you have added nutritionist? No, it is because of your food. And I'm getting the same food, what you're serving in the morning as a breakfast. And I've looked around, I mean, you're serving me the same. So why you're adding value? So no transparency. See, my experiences. It also helps move from one size fits all marketing to a personalized engagement. See, one thing I have been very common throughout is whatever you do, it cannot be one size fits all marketing. It has to be a personalized engagement. It will build a deeper emotional connection and it will always create a lasting trust.